Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for a brand new Healthline 3, when we like to tackle some of the issues that you may be dealing with and ultimately give you some answers to help you live a healthier life. And today, it is all about the eyes, and we certainly have the eye professionals in today. WUK eye specialist, Dr. Christopher Shelby, Dr. Weish Coleman, and guys, thank you so much for being here. We always get an amazing response from our viewers. Everybody has eyes. Everybody at some point will probably have some issues, and you guys have some answers. So thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Always good to be here.
Yeah. If anybody has questions, we like callers. So yeah.
Yes, I can give you that number right now. And Dr. Coleman just said 318-219-4569. I'm going to put that up on your screen. And if you have any questions over the course of the next half hour, definitely pick up the phone, give us a call. Nothing is off limits with the eyes. And specifically, guys, what are we tackling today?
Well, we're going to talk about cataract surgery, LASIK, specifically cataract surgery that's aimed at a dual purpose, not just getting the cloudy cataract out of the way, but also leaving your glasses independent. So that's where most of the advancements in cataract surgery have gone over the last decade or so. Is a dual result, a dual benefit out of glasses at the same time of the cataract surgery. And now, you know, traditionally young people who wanted to get glasses or contact independent, you may fall in that category, they would get LASIK, older people would get cataract surgery. The two are starting to overlap now. Mm-hmm. So you have some people who come in and they're young, or they're middle-aged, 40s, and cataract surgery is a better solution. You have some people who are older and already had cataract surgery, and it was before the time that the technology was to the point where you could get glasses independence, and those would LASIK surgery would be better for them. So it's really an individual plan that's made up and what's best for that person, but I think there's a lot of options for everybody if they desire glasses independence.
Absolutely, and a quick personal story. Yesterday I was on the golf course playing over here at Corby's. I played golf with a 75-year-old gentleman, just had surgery. I think you guys actually did it recently. And 75 years old, had the cataract surgery, and he could see the ball so much better than I could.
Really?
I mean, yes. And
well, that means we definitely did his service.
No doubt.
For that, for sure.
Yeah, and it kind of just struck me as, okay, you had cataract surgery to obviously get rid of the cataracts, but his vision improved dramatically because of it.
Sure. Well, when you think about what a cataract is, it's a browning of your God-given lens. And so it's a process that happens slowly over time. It's not like you wake up one day and think, oh, it's time to have cataract surgery. You know, you can imagine it's like taking a clear glass of water and slowly putting drops of Coca-Cola in there over decades. Mm. And so what happens is that you don't get enough light in the eyes. That's where the symptoms come from. Glare at nighttime, trouble reading small print, things like that. But these symptoms can actually happen in your 30s, 40s, 50s, where you lose contrast sensitivity, which is that fine detail. And that's one of the biggest complaints we get from our golfers is they hit the ball, they can't see it.
That's where they hit it,
especially if it's against a cloudy background. They just can't see it, and so their buddies have to tell them where the ball is. And that's one of the first things people notice when we take the cataract out, which is cool about cataract surgery, because these symptoms are slowly progressive. People know they don't see as well as they used to. Mm-hmm. Well, the surgery takes 6 to 10 minutes, and the results are immediate. And so people are like, oh my God, things are so much brighter and more colorful in these details. They really see how dirty their house is, you know, if they're not really good cleaners, you know, suddenly. And cataract surgery does not cause wrinkles, by the way. You know, just suddenly people can see some of this.
Or dandruff,
or anything like that. But you can see blacks versus navy blues. And most patients will spend the first few days or week doing this and this, because it's like the eye that hasn't been operated on is like a sepia color, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like a filter. And the eye we've done is amazing. Things are brighter, more colorful. They're seeing things for what they really are. It's pretty cool.
Yes.
We have the best job ever.
Oh, I tell you what, you guys are doing big things, WKI Institute. So let me ask you this too, I know the answer, but I want folks at home that are watching right now to get to hear this response, because every time it kind of blows my mind. For those that are watching right now, 30s, 40s, 50s, that don't have cataract problem, thinks that, you know what, I'm never going to be impacted by cataracts. How many people in America are impacted by cataracts or will?
Basically, everyone who lives long enough. So,
yes.
You know, the average age of cataract surgery in the U.S. is 69 right now, about 69. As cataract surgery has gotten better, that age has come down because the threshold for doing the surgery gets lower as the technique gets better and the results get more reliable. So we're at a point now where cataract surgery is very reliable. 69 is the average age, but it's a wide continuum. Every now and then you see somebody who's in their 80s that's still 20/20. Or at least says, I see good, I don't want to do anything. And I always tell people, if it's not bothering you, it's not bothering me. Even if I see a cataract there, if they're seeing good enough to do everything that they need to do, that's no problem. Keep going with some glasses or come back when it bothers you. But then you have people who are in their 50s and they have a cataract and it's symptomatic. They're not able to drive at night, not able to see the golf ball when they hit it. And mm-hmm. in those cases, it's time to do cataract surgery. So it's usually a symptom-dependent thing to make the decision of when to do cataract surgery.
Interesting. How many people would you say that you guys talk to that have that common line, I should have did this sooner, I should have had this done sooner?
Close to 100%.
100%,
yeah. The vast majority will say, wow, you know, I was told I had cataracts years ago. Mm-hmm. And we tell people, hey, you got some cataracts, not a big deal. You still see well. Here are the symptoms you're going to have, glare at nighttime, things like that. When it gets bad enough to where it affects your quality of life, you know, so your daily activities, you're not enjoying as well because you can't see it as well, that's when it's time to have surgery. Mm-hmm. But the vast majority, especially those that have waited a long time, are like, man, I should have done this a decade ago.
You know? Yeah, very interesting. Well, I know we got some folks out there watching right now that would probably have some questions for Dr. Christopher Shelby, Dr. Weish Coleman, 318-219-4569. We got that number up there, right there on your screen. Hopefully you can see that. I would have to squint right now and to
see
that. We need
to check your prescription.
Yeah,
right.
I know. Listen, okay.
Next time we'll bring in equipment and we'll check it here.
So that, you know, I was going to wait a little bit to bring this up. But one question that I asked Dr. Shelby the last time he was here that a lot of people kind of resonated with them. It kind of came from my heart is, I feel like my eyes are super sensitive. Years ago, I tried to put contacts in my eyes. I had a real hard time doing that. And I'm a little fearful. I want to have the LASIK done. I want to have better eyesight. Who doesn't, right? But, you know, what are some things that you guys can do to kind of, to alleviate that or to kind of make the process easier?
Well, let me break it into two subjects. First is LASIK, and second, we'll talk about cataract surgery. So, you know, with LASIK, well, first of all, nobody wants to have anything done to their eyes. I don't blame them for that. You know, I had a little lesion cut off my arm the other day by my dermatologist friend, and I just about passed out, so I had a little taste of my own medicine when I say it's no big deal. But, you know, first of all, we give you a Valium before you do LASIK. Mm-hmm. If you want it. Not everybody wants it. Not everybody needs it. But if you're nervous, take a Valium. That helps you chill a little bit. But the new equipment that we have is much better than it was in the past. So with older LASIK machines, the laser that creates the corneal flap, you know, LASIK, you create a tenth of a millimeter flap, you lift it up and reshape the cornea and lay it back down. The laser that creates that flap used to have a very high suction, so it increased the pressure in the eye, it was uncomfortable, mm-hmm. the vision went black, because of retinal artery occlusion. The new laser, the Zeiss Visumax that we have now, which I think is the best flap creation laser in the world, it uses about a third the suction of previous lasers on the market. And I can tell you, I would have never voluntarily docked my own eye to the old LASIK lasers that we had available. That was all we had. That was what existed in the world. Mm-hmm. But the new laser, Dr. Shelby and I have both docked it onto each other's eye. So, and that's really the worst part.
Wow.
And I literally could not tell that it was on my eye. I couldn't tell at all. Actually, I pulled away.
You didn't feel it, or?
I couldn't feel it one bit.
Wow.
It's like
okay.
Zero sensation when I was under suction. I couldn't tell whether okay. I was under suction.
And so, he was a bad patient, too. He pulled
I'm
away
a bad patient. I can't well, I can't put drops in my own eyes.
Yes.
So I'm right there with you with the contact thing. So I think if people are nervous, you know, usually it's no big deal. And even nervous people, we can get them a little bit of sedation. But usually after you do the first flap cut and they mm-hmm. say, wait, that was it? You got it made after that.
Okay.
Because there's some anxiety leading up to it. But once you say, well, this is the worst part, we're going to do it first. Once it's over and it's no big deal, it's a lot, or it's calm after that.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, we'll talk much more about that because I'm intrigued. I'm always intrigued when you guys are in the house. But I want the show is dedicated to the viewers. If you're watching at home, we got our very first caller, Janice. What is your question for Dr. Coleman, Dr. Shelby?
Yes. I'm 63 years old. And my left eye can't see out of it from cataracts, high blood pressure, and I was wondering, can I come in and y'all could look at it and see if you could help me.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, that's exactly what we do. And so, especially with the cataracts, we can definitely help with that. And the nice thing about what we do is we can take a look and tell you exactly what's going on based on the exam. And so sometimes with high blood pressure, you can have some damage to the retina itself. That could be part of what's causing some of the blurred vision. And so being able to evaluate you and see exactly what's going on is ideal. Matter of fact, you can call the office right now and schedule an appointment and tell them you talk to us on KTBS and we'll get you in as soon as possible. And you can call, depending on where you are, we have a clinic over at Willis Knight, North, South, and Piermont, whichever is easiest for you to get to.
Yeah. Well, I will give you a call.
Hey, Janice, thanks for calling us now. Yeah.
And might as well hit the phone number. So 212-3937 at Dr. Shelby's office, and it's 212-5901 at my office, and it's thecataractsurgeons.com is our website.
All right. Yeah. Very simple. And hey, we still got plenty of time, about 19 minutes or so to go. And
we play this in the waiting room at our office, right?
Oh, do you? Okay.
You need to come by, because at our offices, we play the Health Watch segments in a loop.
Okay.
So there's some educational content. So, you know, the comments from the patients who see us in the clinic is, I learned so much because the people who called in asked the exact same question that I was thinking of. So
interesting.
If you have questions, give us a call. We'd like to answer them.
Absolutely, and do that right now. Hey, that's what this is, this show dedicated to you, the viewers. So if you're sitting at home, you got some issues there with your cataracts, you got some LASIK questions, right now, give these guys a call. 318-219-4569 is the number to call. I'm gonna backtrack real fast too to talk, you know, what Janice was bringing up. She said that she was having a problem with one of her eyes. Maybe both, but specifically that left eye for her was an issue. Now, can a cataract get worse in one eye like it appears to have done for Janice, or how do you guys tackle that?
It's not uncommon to have asymmetry. You know, usually they move about together, but it's occasionally someone does have a very severe cataract in one eye, not as bad in the other eye. But, you know, we have that's a common complaint. People come in and they say, well, I don't see good out of this eye, but I see fine out of this one. And then you do the cataract surgery in this one, they're like, whoa, that's my better eye now. Now this eye's bad, let's do it too. Mm-hmm. So typically, if they're pretty close and people don't have a specific reason like previous surgery or trauma to have a true unilateral cataract, we'd go ahead and do them both. Occasionally you see somebody you just want to do unilateral, but that's rare.
Okay.
Usually it's bilateral. And I did want to comment on the issue of the comfort and the anxiety with the surgery. I did a friend of mine who's a doctor.
Yeah, by all means, I'm all ears on this.
So he's a retired colorectal surgeon. I did his cataract surgery this week, and he requested no sedation. He had a lot of things to do in the day, and I said, look, I think you'll be fine. You know, if I ever live long enough to have cataract surgery done, I plan to do it with no sedation. And so we gave him zero meds through the IV. And you know, just topical numbing drops, because you can anesthetize the eye nearly completely with drops. And he said at the end of the surgery that it was just almost as bad as brushing your teeth in the morning.
Oh, wow.
So I told him I was gonna quote him on that.
Yeah, and you definitely probably don't need sedation for what you guys do, but I would for his.
Right, yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Excuse me, we do have our next caller on the line. We have Gene on here. Gene?
How are you today?
Doing great, Gene.
Good.
What's your question for the doctors?
A question for the doctors. I've seen, I'm in the process of evaluating which cataract surgery, which lens I want, or do I want the both for distance and reading? What is the difference in that and the light adjustable lens that I see advertised?
That's a good question. So both of those lenses can give you the best opportunity to be glasses independent. The PanOptix, which is the multifocal lens that we use for the wide range of vision, all three ranges, is kind of the coup de grace. That's the ultimate lens to be able to get you to see distance, intermediate, and up close without glasses. It's the perfect option for somebody who has never had RK, who's never had LASIK or PRK. So you have a virgin eye that's never had any surgery, and there's nothing else wrong with the eye. There's no macular degeneration or anything like that. That's the best lens to be glasses independent. The light adjustable lens is what we call an extended depth of focus. So it gives a range of vision. So let's say both eyes are done for distance, then you have a range of vision from intermediate to distance. And so with that one, to get glasses independence, we actually offset them a little bit. So the shooting eye, we maximize for distance. The non-dominant eye, we leave it just a little bit nearsighted to allow near and intermediate vision. So what happens is your brain blends those images together, allowing a range of vision. And that's a great choice for somebody who's had previous refractive surgery like LASIK or PRK, or especially RK. So a lot of it depends on what your expectations are afterwards, and also the preoperative status of your eye, if you've ever had any other prior refractive surgery, or if you have glaucoma or macular degeneration or anything like that. So they're both a wonderful option to be glasses independent.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, Gene, thank you for your call.
Yeah, thanks for the call. That was a good question, because there's a lot of talk about different lenses, and I think it creates some hesitancy on the side of the patient who says, I have all this stuff marketed to me, I don't know much about it, what do I do? And I think that the main message there is this: not is a good result is not as dependent on the lens itself as the process to make a decision on the selection of the lens, because you really need a lot of objective data. If somebody's had previous surgery, detailed measurements of the eye to say what is the best pathway for you to become glasses independent. And sometimes that's light adjustable lens. More often that's the PanOptix multifocal, which gives extremely reliable near vision. But if somebody's not a good candidate for that, a light adjustable lens is an excellent option. So I think the most important thing is to have a good process in place to do adequate patient selection and put the patients in the correct bucket that they need to go in to have a good outcome.
Wow. And the fascinating thing you were just kind of breaking down, it almost sounds like superhero stuff. You're talking about things that you fix people's eyes with.
Well, that may be overrating us a little bit.
But yeah, I mean, you're changing people's eyes to the point that, like, it'll help them with, you know, with extreme light and helping them read and things like that. And, you know, people that have gone years and years and years can now do something like this and see so much better. So what about the recovery time? Are people taking off weeks or months, or, you know, when they have this typical cataract surgery, they got to clear their schedule for how long?
Yeah, no, I mean, generally the day of, you know. Yeah, because most people are sedated, so you get some generally Versed, fentanyl in your IV, which is kind of like having a number of margaritas and martinis, you know, so you don't want to sign any contracts or do any driving.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but by the next day, you feel pretty good, the vision's already better, as long as you're not doing anything that's putting you at risk of traumatizing the eye, because the incisions that we make are 2.4 millimeters at the biggest. They're very small, and there's no stitches, so we want the cornea to heal on its own. So, you know, basically no rubbing. But a lot of people go back to work the next day. Like Dr. Coleman was saying, his friend who's a colon rectal surgeon, he had things to do. So with no sedation, when you're done, that's it. I mean, you can get back to doing just routine activities.
Wow.
Yeah.
The next day you can go back to work. Want to go back to work
right.
the next day.
It's up to you. Yeah, and depending on what you do also.
But
you
the know? Surgery isn't the reason why you don't want to go back to work.
That's
it's just
correct.
It's work.
I mean, Kirsten Holmes.
Yeah.
Who's here for
Kirsten,
a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
On air. I did LASIK on her one afternoon at 5 p.m. and she was here at 4:30 for the morning show the next morning.
Get out of here.
Yeah. I said, maybe you should take a day off. And then she came to clinic afterwards. She was like, I felt good. I went in and worked.
Wow. Interesting.
That's pretty typical.
Yeah, it's typical.
All right. So I've said this to you guys before, but we're really going to talk. I want to get back to the point that, you know, for me, the biggest hang up was, you know, obviously the recuperation. I thought that it was so much more invasive than what it seems. I mean, it just seems like when I first started to hear about the LASIK and it, of course, you hear it, you're like, who doesn't want to see? Amazing. And, you know, I've gone so long with it being bad, but it's like things have changed. So, you know, the technology is awesome.
Yeah.
But yes, we do have our next caller on the line. Who do we have?
Lisa.
Okay. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
What's your questions for the doctors?
Does Medicaid cover cataract surgery?
The short answer of that is yes. So, and basically all other insurances follow that. I think we take everything at our office. And Medicare, Medicaid, all private insurance pay for a base cataract surgery. Now, it's possible, so in cases if you want to correct astigmatism, if you want to do things like a toric lens, Medicare's position is that they'll pay for a standard cataract surgery. If you want to take steps to get glasses independent, they still pay for the base surgery, but whatever we do to get you glasses independent, like a multifocal lens, is extra on top of that. And How much exactly cash out of pocket it is really different per insurance plan. Some people have a deductible, some people don't. Sometimes people have a high deductible, and it's better to just do a cash elective cataract surgery from a financial standpoint. But we have people in our office that are experts at that. I always tell them if I had to be the one that figures that out, I'd have to do something else for a living. We have a building full of people to figure out medical billing nowadays. But in general, yes, Medicare pays for cataract surgery. And also tell everyone that there are things that you can do that cost extra, and the purpose is glasses independence. And that's the only purpose. And some people say, I don't mind wearing glasses a bit. And I say, well, you know, you don't have to spend
now
one
that's
extra.
Medicaid.
Medicaid?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Medicaid too. Yeah, we take Medicaid. I tell everyone you don't have to spend one extra dollar over what insurance pays to see better afterwards than before. You know, you'll have a good result either way.
There you go, checking all the boxes when it comes to getting it paid for. Lisa, I hope that answered your questions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
No problem. And we still got time, about 9 more minutes to go. So 219-4569 if you have a question about cataracts, LASIK. These are the guys that have the answers for you, Dr. Christopher Shelby. And Eric, sorry, I keep screwing up your name. I'm so excited about this talk. Christopher Shelby, Dr. Weish Coleman. And walk us through the process, guys. I know some folks watching at home right now. Do they have to go see their primary eye doctor first? Or can they just hit you guys up? Do they have to be referred to you? Or can they just stop by and kind of start the process? And if so, what does that process look like?
Yeah, either way. I mean, a lot of people are referred by their outside optometrist to our clinics. And what they do is, you got a cataract. We can't get your vision any better with glasses or contacts. So they'll come in. Or somebody says, I can't see much better. And they come in for an evaluation. And so what we do is we dilate the eyes, we do a bunch of testing to see, and when we find out that it is cataracts, then we do further testing, like measurements of the eye to figure out what lens power to put in, and all this is painless. You know, it's like taking pictures. And like Dr. Coleman said, we have a number of other machines that we use to verify corneal curvature, a lot of the variables that we need to be able to assess what lens is best for the patient. And then once we have that information, then you go to our surgical coordinators who then take a look at the schedule and say, okay, you'll have one cataract surgery on this day, the next one on this other day or this next week, and then we just get it scheduled. It's actually, we make it very easy.
Yeah.
The process is very simple.
It certainly sounds like it. Do you guys still have that little puff of air? Is that still part of the process?
No, those things are garbage, you know, and everybody hates them.
Hated it.
Yeah.
Everybody hates it.
If you're not coming in because you don't want that, we do not have that at any of our locations at all. That's actually a pretty inaccurate method of measuring eye pressure. And
really?
The most universally hated device in any eye clinic, maybe in all of medicine.
Yeah.
I did want to make the one point about referrals that you do not need a referral to come see us.
Okay.
So I know that some subspecialties require that. That is on almost every insurance, that is not a requirement. You can come directly to us. Mm-hmm. Many people are referred, but that is not a necessary component. If you say, I'm not seeing good, mm-hmm. you can just come straight to the source.
That's great.
There's somebody in our office, every one of our locations at North, South, and Piermont, 5 days a week.
Yes. So that kind of brings me to my next question. How does somebody that's having eye issues know that, okay, now is the time I need to get in to see somebody, to see you guys?
Well, if you're not seeing good, come see us.
Yeah.
We always say that
pain, or is there any sort of normal pain for your eyes?
Nope.
Or no?
Pain and blurred vision are abnormal.
Okay.
Period.
Yeah.
And so if your eyes are hurting, that's abnormal. And if your vision's blurrier than normal, you know, like if you normally wear glasses and because you have blurry vision, that's one thing. But if you put your glasses on and things are blurry in one or both eyes, that's abnormal. So we need to take a look.
Very interesting too. Okay, some of the technology, we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. It's not what they were using 20, 30 years ago. And one of the things that in my head, you know, I kind of develop all these theories about why I shouldn't have it done. It's gonna hurt, it's gonna do this, it's gonna do that. There's gonna be needles jabbed into my eyes. It doesn't sound like that's exactly the case.
We have zero needles.
Fantastic.
And I also would say to your point that one of the things that makes people the most comfortable is telling them exactly what to expect as we go. You know, all of our patients are awake, with few exceptions. You know, we're almost always operating somebody who's awake. We're talking to them, they can respond to us. So, you know, during surgery, we're engaged with the patient. And I think that I think the main thing to keep someone comfortable is, number one, make sure they don't feel any pain. Mm-hmm. Easy to do. Just put some drops in. The eyes are very easy to anesthetize. And then let people know what's about to happen. So as long as we do that, I mean, it's very rare to have somebody who ends up being extremely nervous or, you know, unable to hold still enough to cause a problem. Almost everyone does very well and at the end says, that was no big deal.
Interesting. How have you guys personally seen this change over the years? What are some of the, I mean, this technology, the lasers that you guys use, this is some cutting edge stuff.
Absolutely. You know, I've been practicing slightly longer than Dr. Coleman, so so I've seen quite a bit. You know, from my residency to now, it's amazing. Matter of fact, when I learned how to do cataract surgery back in the day, our professor made us do certain techniques, like the older techniques, until we finally got to phacoemulsification, which is how we do it now. Nowadays, those older techniques aren't even taught, you know, because of the technology that we're able to utilize nowadays. And then with the advent of the laser and a lot of the equipment that we use now, it's amazing. It's really revolutionary in ophthalmology, not evolutionary, you know, and something new is coming out all the time. And one of the benefits that we have is we like to embrace new technology as early as possible once we know that it's going to be beneficial for our patients' outcomes and safety.
Yeah, so if you're watching right now and you're thinking, I'm going to wait until the technology catches up, it's here.
I think we're there, you know.
Yeah.
It'll
yeah.
always get better.
Right.
Things will get better, and I think... But I think we're there, you know. It's not something you need to wait on. I think there was a time that was probably true, especially for some people. But there's a wide variety of options. Like people who were not LASIK candidates in the past because they were extremely nearsighted or they had corneas that were too thin. Now we can do implantable contact lenses, ICLs, and correct huge amounts of nearsightedness. You can correct low amounts of nearsightedness in people who are not a candidate for LASIK. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty exciting deal too. And that's like another example of a merger of lens-based technology and corneal-based refractive surgery.
Yeah.
And so most of that technology now is filling some gap where you had a group of people, you said, we got nothing for you. Mm-hmm. We're filling in those gaps, mm-hmm. so we almost have something for everybody now that's a good and safe option. And we actually host Shelby and I were in our third year, we host a fellowship because, you know, people typically don't learn a lot of this stuff in residency. Refractive cataract surgery especially, meaning leaving people glasses independent. And that's sort of a subspecialty of its own that's evolved over the last decade. And so we have another ophthalmologist, guys from New York now, who's with us, and they spend a year with us. They're a board eligible, fully trained ophthalmologist in, you know, basic cataract surgery technique, and we teach them refractive cataract surgery.
Oh, that's cool. Kind of passing along the knowledge, having
high
that discussion.
Power
mm-hmm.
ophthalmologists. They're
yeah.
both our previous graduates are doing great.
That's awesome. That's awesome to hear. It's all about improving eyes, and that's why I love having you guys in for this Healthline, is the fact that, you know, it goes back to not waiting. I'm one to speak. But no, I think 2024, you're going to be seeing me pop in the office. And
sooner the better.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely, because the longer, that just kind of dawned on me, the longer we wait, that's just much more of our lives that we're going to be living with poor eyesight.
You'll be a celebrity in the waiting room.
I don't know about that.
You'll be on the TV.
Well, that's right. It's like, hey, I know that guy.
That's nothing new for you.
Dr. Yeah. Shelby will be there, so it'll be
right, well, you
too,
know.
Sir. So. Well, are you guys taking patients right now? Some folks are watching right now thinking, I wonder if I can get in to see these guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. How can they go about that?
Yeah. So they can, any location that we're at, what's most convenient for them. So my office is 212-3937 over at Portico. Our North clinic is 212-2020. Dr. Coleman's main clinic at South is 5901. I know your phone number. I know. 5901 is Dr. Coleman.
It's thecataractsurgeons.com is our website, so you can find a lot of information there too.
No doubt about it. They are the best in the eye game. No doubt. And I want to give a shout out real fast to Dr. Shelby. He also has the coolest socks I've probably seen so far this Christmas season.
My elf socks.
And
mine are cooler. You just can't see
them. You can't see them. That's right. Yeah.
And Dr. Coleman, why don't you give a shout out to your little guy in studio? He didn't want to go on camera, but
I know. You've been very good over there. Watch, Taylor. I've got my oldest here today watching.
Yes.
We couldn't get him on TV. Maybe next time.
A future doctor in training. Well, guys, really thank you so much. We appreciate you being part of the KTBS Healthline family and wish you nothing but the best. Merry Christmas and a Happy New
Year.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
Dave.
We'll see you in 2024. That's going to do it for Healthline today. We hope that you have a happy, terrific day.